Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, Living Bible. For God, who supplies seed to the farmer and bread to eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, June 11th, 2025, and we're picking up right where we left off yesterday as today's message, Daring to Plant in Faith, is being put into yesterday and today's program as preached by Rick Warren with his series, Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church.
You are harvesting both good and bad from your past because you're not the only person who sowed. Everything you do has consequences. And by the way, your life is going to affect future generations. So you need to take it very, very seriously. You know, a couple years ago, PBS was doing a series of family histories of famous Americans. They did Oprah Winfrey and just a bunch of different people. And the guy who did it came and said, we want to do a pastor. We want to do you. I said, fine. So they actually took a swab of DNA out of my mouth, and they went back and traced my family tree back 1,000 years. I'm a king, and you should all bow down to me. I'm just teasing. Just teasing. But they found all kinds of interesting things and did a TV special on my family tree. One of the things I discovered is the amount of godly ancestors I had in my family. I am reaping the benefit and blessings from grandparents and great-grandparents who were praying for their great-grandchildren. I'm reaping that in my life because I had some people, who parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, who loved God and were praying for their future generations. Now, I know many of you say, well, you know, I didn't have a family like that. I'd like to have a legacy like that. Well, you start it. You start it. Start it with your family name, that you determine that the future generations of your family name are going to be blessed because you're going to plant seeds of prayer and love and godliness and generosity and faith and all these other things. And you, and the people that come out of your family tree have a blessing in heritage. You're not the only sower. Jesus said this, John 4:38, I sent you to reap where you did not plant, and others had already done work before you, and you will now gather the harvest. Last week, I showed you the commitment cards from 7 previous faith generosity campaigns, and you are reaping the benefit. We're all reaping the benefit of their sacrifices. And I think about people who gave sacrificially, like Jay and Gladys Blazer and others, who are both in heaven now. Many of those originals are in heaven. And I think they never got to see what was going to be the impact of their faith, their sacrifice, and their gift. They didn't get to see it, but they're going to enjoy the rewards in heaven. You know, this week, Braven Carver interviewed some people in our church who were children during one of the campaigns that were called For the Children, when we raised the funds for to build the children's building. And we had a special children's offering there. And he interviewed those who are now adults that are actually serving as ministers on Saddleback staff as adults. I want you to watch this. It's pretty moving. It's worth watching.
When Rick first cast the vision for the new children's building, I was only 10 years old. I didn't really know what it all meant, but I was ready to do my part.
Collecting the money was a dramatic moment for the entire church to be able to see the kids that are a part of this. It wasn't just the adults that were working tirelessly Monday through Friday to build this church.
I had gone around the house and collected all the change and asked my parents and was so excited to give to the church because I, even at a young age, and I was definitely really young, I knew it was my church, my family's church. It wasn't just that thing we went to. It was, no, we're part of this. We're part of this thing.
I remember getting the banks, and that was really fun because, like, as a kid, you're just excited to fill up the bank.
Being a part of that and giving and afterwards, you know, realizing, wow, I'm giving to something so much bigger than myself.
Being able to gather the money was doing chores around the house. It was helping Dad and Mom out in the backyard And it was doing things that I thought were uncomfortable. But my parents taught me at an early age that life wasn't about me, and that was something that Rick had talked to them about for years.
As a kid, you don't realize that all the things that are in front of you are a direct, like, correlation to someone's giving. Like, you don't realize that that's tithe dollars that you're benefiting from, like your crayons or your coloring sheets. Like, so that's something that someone gave money to. And I didn't really realize it as a kid, but now as an adult looking back, I'm really grateful, because I feel like if I didn't have that, if I didn't have Saddleback, and if I wasn't poured into so much as a kid, I don't know really what my life would be like. I think it would be a lot different. The gifts that people gave to build the buildings that I grew up in didn't just give me a fun place to be, but it really gave me a space to grow, a space to learn to love the Lord, and to bring my friends alongside me in that.
As a child, I was in that age group where we would raise money for the children's building, and as soon as we'd raise the money, I would be old enough to not be in that children's building while they had that building. And by the time that they started the refinery, raised all the money for that, I was on to different things. And so we would raise the money and then not necessarily get to see the fruit, but I think that's really what it's about. It really is about not being able to necessarily receive all of the incredible things of your giving, but the others get to receive it because of you.
You can see what's happened in the past 35 years. Just imagine what God will continue to do if people keep responding in the same way. If our church continues to rally together and say, you know what, we're going to sacrifice in order to serve the kingdom, in order to give to the kingdom, God will continue to respond. We have 35 years history proving this, proving that God will do this. And why would we think that anything would change otherwise? Why would we think that God wouldn't continue to bless those offerings going forward?
So that's children who grew up at Saddleback and are now serving as staff in our church family. I would say to you that if you have children at home during this time, involve them in the process of your generosity discussion. Talk about this, what you're going to sow and what you're going to reap with them. I remember during the time to build, sitting around with my three kids and praying about what we were going to give, and my two boys, Matthew and Josh, deciding that they were going to give their baseball card collections. And so they had quite a collection, and we put it all together and we took it out and we sold it. And I think their contribution for this building was $500 because of their commitment. That is leaving a legacy. That is leaving a heritage. Are you leaving a legacy of generosity or stinginess? Are you leaving a legacy of faith or doubt or fear? I'm not the only one sowing. Number six.
Hey, listening friend, it just dawned on me, in light of us raising funds to put these two new stations on the air, in fact, KMDY, 90.9 FM, Keokuk, Iowa, serving southeast Iowa and west central Illinois, that's on the air, but we're moving forward with WDKR, 107.3 FM, and that'll serve all of central Illinois. But now could be the time to get your children or grandchildren, for some of you, your great-grandchildren, involved and generate a legacy gift. In fact, yesterday, I had a friend call me up, and he's pledging a $10,000 gift, praise the Lord. And we've had some other substantial gifts and people committing to give monthly. So read our newsletter, pray it up, and see how God would lead. Be a sower into this radio ministry. As you plant your seed with us, I'm trusting you'll receive a great harvest. All right, back to point number six with Pastor Rick Warren, covering I always reap in a different season than I sow.
Number six, I always reap in a different season than I sow. I always reap in a different season than I sow. You know, plants take time to grow. There's no instant maturity. And so you don't plant today and this afternoon get the fruit. There's always a delay. And that's true when you plant anything in life. There's no such thing as instant success. There's instant fame, but no instant success. It takes time to gather wisdom. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for everything. There's a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time to plant, which is now, and there's a time to harvest. There's a time to scatter, there's a time to gather. In other words, there's a time to sow and a time to reap. Fruit ripens gradually. And by the way, it doesn't all ripen at the same time. Do you know the difference between a vine-ripened tomato and a gassed tomato? Which one tastes better? Yeah, the vine. Yeah. You miss the flavor when you get in a hurry. You just need to understand, when you plant a seed, you don't get the harvest immediately. There's always a delay. You know, grapefruit takes 2 years. It takes 2 years before you get a grapefruit. I got a grapefruit tree in my yard. And some things take time, but they're worth it. Okay, number 7, I must be patient and not give up. As you're waiting on the seed you planted, don't become impatient. I must be patient and not give up, because you reap in a season that's different than the one you sowed in. Galatians 6:9 tells us this. Let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. I have to be patient. Number 8, this is a big one. I will always reap more than I sow. Now, again, this can work for you or against you. I will always reap more than I sow. This is the law of multiplication. A couple weeks ago, I planted giant sunflowers in my backyard. Took a little sunflower seed from the giant sunflowers grow to about 12 feet tall, and the flowers about almost a foot wide. They're enormous. One little seed doesn't give me back one little seed. One little seed will give me back 1,000 seeds. You always reap more than you sow. In the parable of soils, Jesus said it this way, Mark 4:8. Some seed fell on good soil, and it came up, and it grew, and it produced a crop, multiplying, circle that, 30, 60, and even 100 times. Now again, this will work for you or against you. It depends on what kind of seed you're planting. You plant gossip, you're going to get a lot more gossip about you. You plant criticism, you're going to get a lot more criticism about you. There is an exponential potential in every seed. As that old line, the old cliche says, anybody can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. Because one seed can produce an awful lot of apples. I'll always reap more than I sow. Number 9, the 9th law of sowing and harvesting. I can increase my harvest by planting more seed. I can always increase my harvest by planting more seed. And this is the law of proportion, that we always reap in proportion to what we sow. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. We actually looked at this verse last week, and it says this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each one should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, not under pressure, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, what that verse says is this. You get to choose how big the harvest is in your life. You get to choose how much God blesses your life. Don't blame anybody else. You get to choose how much God is blessing your life. You sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. You sow generously, you will reap generously. That is the word of God. That is the law of the universe, and it applies in every single area of your life. The law of generosity works for anybody who follows it. It works for non-believers, because God is just like gravity works for believers and non-believers. It's just a law of the universe. Proverbs 11:24, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Number 10, the 10th law of the harvest. The more seed I plant, this is amazing, the more seed I plant, the more God will give me. Hello? The more seed I plant, the more I give away, the more God gives me. God is looking for givers to bless. And he looks down, he doesn't look for stingy people to bless, he looks for givers to bless. And he looks down and goes, is there anybody on earth like me who wants to be generous, who wants to be unselfish, who wants to think of other people? Is there anybody who trusts me? He's always looking for people to use, and he blesses people who are generous. My life is a testimony of this verse. You know my story on giving, that the more seed I plant, the more God will give me. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 9:10. For God, who supplies seed to the farmer and bread to eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give even more, give away more and more fruit from your harvest. That verse is a promise about being generous with money. It's specifically about money. That's what God says. Number 11, 11th law of harvesting. I plant by faith, not by my feelings. It's a very important point. I plant by faith, not by my feelings. People aren't generous because they don't feel like being generous. And so they go by their feeling. No, you plant by faith, not by feeling. When the farmer gets up in the morning, do you think every farmer expects to feel good about going and working on his farm? No, it's just hard work. If a farmer only worked his crops when he felt like it, not much would get done. He doesn't want to get up early. He doesn't want to go, you know, harvest and plant and weed and do all those things. No, he does what he doesn't feel like doing, and he's planting when he doesn't feel like it. You don't go by your feelings. You go by your faith. Let me give you a little confession. Confession's good for salt. I don't always feel like being nice to people. I hate to admit that. Don't think less of me. But I don't always feel like being nice to people. Sometimes I want to be cranky. Sometimes I just want to say, leave me alone. You know, I don't always feel like being kind. I don't always feel like being generous. I don't always feel like giving people hope. And this is a serious one. I don't always feel like preaching. But I don't happen to live by my feelings. I happen to live by faith. Sometimes I plant when I'm tired. Sometimes I plant when I'm distracted. Sometimes I plant when I'm stressed out. Sometimes I plant when I'm in deep, deep grief. And I move ahead in faith in spite of my feelings, expecting God to act. I told you at Easter, I didn't want to be here for Easter. It was the second anniversary of Matthew's death, my youngest son. I really didn't want to be here. I said, what I'd rather do is just celebrate the resurrection at home with my wife, my Lord, my kids, and just get through the second anniversary. But all that week, because I was crying all week, I was in tears most of that week. And I claimed Psalm 125 as a promise, the next verse. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seeds, but they sing as they return with the harvest. And you know what? As I was planting seeds in 14 Easter services, God gave a harvest of 2,604 people came to Christ. That's a deal. That's a deal. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. And all those people are going to be in heaven because I didn't do what I felt like doing. I did what I did by faith. And sometimes God's going to call you to make a sacrifice. Money, yes, but also time and also talent and maybe your life. And God's going to call you to sacrifice and you're going to go, I don't feel like it. And you will miss the blessing that God wants to do in using you. I plant by faith, not by my feelings. And finally, number 12, the 12th point is this. The best time to plant is now. The best time to plant is now. You don't wait for a better time. The sooner, the better. People say, you know, when I retire, I'm going to get serious about God. Nah, then you'll be worthless. Okay? You won't have any energy to do anything. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds. And those who look at every cloud will never reap a harvest. Perfection paralyzes potential. One of these days is none of these days. Okay, you gonna do anything about this message? If you don't like the kind of life you are reaping, change the way you're planting. Whatever you need more of, you need to give away. When you have a need in any area, plant a seed. Would you pray this prayer? Dear God, thank you for creating the universe on universal laws. You have said that no one makes a fool of you, that whatever a person plants, he will harvest. And Lord, I realize I can use that negatively or positively in my life. Help me to practice these 12 laws of the harvest. Help me to plant good seed in abundance in every area of my life. Help me to be patient and realize that I reap in a season different than the one I sow in, but that it is inevitable that the fruit will come. Help me to remember that I always reap more than I sow, and that I can increase my harvest by planting more seed, and that the more seed I plant, the more you will give me. Help me to not live by my feelings, but to live by faith. Help me to realize the best time to plant is right now. If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life and make me the person you want me to be. I want to know you and love you and trust you. Father, as each of us face the kind of lives we're going to live, help us to realize that we are leaving a legacy for future generations, that our everything we do has an impact on people we don't even know. And just as we've been influenced by good and bad in our past, that our lives will make it harder or easier for somebody else. I thank you for the people who've sacrificed and lived in faith and planted in this church for 35 years. I thank you for those who will have the faith to do so in the future. I thank you in advance for the answer to all of our prayers, and I thank you in advance for the achievement of all of the goals that we've set in face. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Wow, what a powerful and appropriate message for such a time as this, in light of the fact that we're launching two new radio stations to the glory of God. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, part of his series, Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles. And yesterday and today, the topic was Daring to Plant in Faith. I'll give you his 12 key points. 1, everything starts as a seed. 2, nothing happens until a seed is planted. 3, when you have a need, you should plant a seed. 4, whatever you plant is what you'll reap. 5, you're not the only sower. 6, you'll always reap in a different season than you sow. 7, you must be patient and not give up. 8, you'll always reap more than you sow. 9, you'll increase your harvest by planting more seed. 10, the more seed you plant, the more God will give you. 11, you plant by faith, not by your feelings. And 12, the time to plant is now. We have a great opportunity for you. Read our newsletter, and if you haven't received it, call us at 217-367-7777. That's for our East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana listeners to Great News Radio. And for those in Central Illinois and Southeast Iowa, dial 217-528-2300. We'd love to partner with you as we lift high the name of Jesus, educating, edifying, and evangelizing all who listen. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again, or send it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.